Hello, wonderful listeners. This is James Wells. I am one of the co-creators of this cool new series called Embodied Divination, the Sacred Pilgrimage to Activate Your Creative Gifts. And in this interview, I am talking with Nancy Antonucci. Nancy and I met many years ago at the Reader's Studio in New York City, and we have been co-fans and friends ever since. She's the author of Psychic Tarot, published by Llewellyn. She is an advocate for people's creative authority, and she's also an advocate for many great political causes in her local area, in the Twin Cities area. So welcome, Nancy.
Hello, James. It's weird to hear you call me Nancy, since you know me as Nooch.
I know you as Nooch, and we have nicknames and jokes for each other, and that's fun. And hopefully we won't get into too much of that in this interview.
Yeah, that's right.
People don't want to hear our silliness, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll keep it clean, James. We'll keep it clean.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So you've garnered a lot of respect in the tarot and divinatory world through and in the creative world. And I would like to know what highlights or peak experiences have led you to this point in your divinatory practice at this point.
I would say a peak experience is literally a dance teacher that I had, Bud Kerwin, and he would show us beautiful. I was a ballet dancer most of my life up until about 30, or a dancer. And in this particular class, I remember Bud saying, you know, you all have the form, you all look right, you're all doing the right steps, but I'm not feeling a thing. And you have to fill that up with your life story. What story are you telling? And it was a turning point for me, because I thought that's what I loved about being an artist, was that what you perceive in your reality and what you're really feeling and sensing does make a difference and does fit, you know, fit into the greater whole and needs to be expressed. You know, not all of it, but the stuff that is really important. So that was a turning point for me as a dancer. It was a turning point for me as a person. And I feel like tarot is, for me, has become the perfect divination system to do the same, to really find what our true story is, what we really sense, and what really needs to be expressed.
So what I hear you saying is you bring your life story and your life force to your divinatory practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and help others bring theirs to the session too.
Exactly, because that reflection, the system itself is a beautiful mirror. It's a beautiful reflection to get a different insight, to see yourself differently, or to change the narrative altogether.
Marvelous, yeah. In a recent teleseminar I taught, I invited people to think about certain cycles connected with their life cards throughout their life and the experiences that went on in those years in their own lives, and to bring those experiences into their practices so that they realize they are experts in those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To know what you know.
Yeah. And with a capital K, I know this.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
You know, I just thought of that. Now is in the word know.
It really is.
So it's like now, this is who I am.
Yeah, and it's a very powerful way that I heard you say that. And so I assume you bring that into your divinatory practice as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And so you're offering something on January 28th connected with our series, the Embodied Divination series. And your session is called Meet Your Destiny Self. Now, I know you talk a bit about the destiny self in your book, Psychic Tarot. What can you tell us about the destiny self? And have you met or encountered yours, and how so?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to talk about the destiny self. I got this whole idea, basically. It was a beautiful idea that I got while I was sitting in a financial workshop for women entrepreneurs. And the teacher looked at us, Ruth Hayden, who is local here, just a fabulous teacher. She said, geez, I wish you women would spend as much time with the older woman within as you do on your inner child.
Wow.
And I went, what did she just say? And then I realized, oh, my God. I never even thought to go into the future. You know, so that's what got me spinning on, well, wait, who is that older woman? And she said, that's exactly it. Most of you don't ever even want to talk to your older woman. You're afraid of who she is. And I thought, yeah, afraid that she's a bag lady, afraid that, you know, that I'm going to be sick or whatever. But for real, what scared me was how healthy and powerful she was. I did a meditation where I asked to meet her. And the destiny self, to me, is the one that really does your incarnation full out, not the one that might do it by default and gets to the end of your life and regrets what wasn't tried, what wasn't attempted because of fear. You know, this is the one that's fearless. You know, and I had a meditation, and the first thing that happened was she looked at me and said, "My God, are you young and juicy?" And I went, okay, I don't feel young and juicy. But that completely changed the way that I saw my age. Because,
that is,
you know,
so
really, to a 95-year-old, I am a spring chicken. So it changed the whole context. And,
and you bring this into your work as well?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the goal. Is my goal, my secret, not secret goal, because I tell my clients easily, but my most precious goal as a worker, energy worker, is to help my client get to the end of their life, look back and go, not bad. I tried everything I wanted to do, except, you know, if it didn't work out, it didn't work out, but I don't have regrets of something I didn't do.
What a gorgeous gift to bring people.
Thank you. Thank you, James.
I love that. So people will have the opportunity to meet their destiny selves in your session on the 28th of January.
Yes. Well, January 28th, I'll talk about it, and I'll give them ways to create a ritual for themselves so that they can do it maybe on their birthday, or they could do it on the next full moon, or they can do it the next day.
Nice. Brilliant.
Whatever would work for them. And also give them a little feedback after the session we have together. They're going to be able to send me an email and go, okay, I got stuck on this part, or wow, I didn't really get this. What should we do? And, you know, I will certainly help them tailor fit a beautiful meditation for themselves.
True support. Wow. Good. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I can't wait to take part in this. I love it. So
you know, the other
doing...
day, I got to tell you, James, the other day I was talking to a student of mine saying, you know what, I think this would just blow your mind. I mean, I think this series is a game changer. And I said, and I'm nervous because I feel like I'm in a really good basketball team and I don't dribble as well as you guys.
Oh, we're all damn good dribblers, Nooch.
Yeah, really.
Okay. So something I've been doing as a third question with everybody in this series is to pull out my Toth tarot deck, and I'm mixing it up, and I'm pulling a card, and I'm going to base our third interview question on whatever card I pull.
Excellent.
All right. So here we go, mixed up. And from the middle of the deck, I pull Trump 2, the Priestess. Trump 2, the Priestess. And so this inspires me to ask the question, how can you see participants in your session moving into their intuitive self-sufficiency? How can your session help people move into their intuitive self-sufficiency?
I personally know both you and I are the High Priestess Justice. Those are our birth cards. Mm-hmm. So to me, the Priestess is, she doesn't seek, she doesn't search, she has the knowledge. She sits with the knowledge. She's not restless. She's not questioning. She holds the scroll. She may not read the whole scroll, but she has the wisdom in her lap. And that's what I would love to do for my participants, is show them how to sit with their wisdom and let it reveal itself to them in their time.
That their own scroll is already in their lap, in a way.
Exactly. I don't have a special, I'm not the one that will bring the scroll to them. They need to allow the scroll to be on their lap. And it takes a lot of courage just to be with it. And it even takes more courage to not feel like you have to do something right away. You can actually just be in that place of potential and in that place of the life that you really deserve and love it and cherish it before you kind of break it out into a to-do list.
That's lovely. So simple, and yet there's something profound in that.
It's not easy. In our culture, you're supposed to figure something out, find the professional who does it, figure it out, make it happen next. And it's not really, that's not how nature works. So it's kind of, it needs to be a more circular process. It needs to be an all-encompassing process, not just this is the next thing I need to do for my business.
Right. So I hear you offering people a way of being that allows them to enter their intuitive self-sufficiency rather than a to-do list.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm going to write that on my to-do list right now.
Fellow priestess.
Exactly. Exactly.
Great. So speaking of an experience, I think you have something for us on this, in this interview right now, some kind of experience or meditation for us?
Yes.
Could you take us through that, please?
Yes, I will. And it's going to be brief, so you can, So I just want you, if you're listening to my voice right now, just to close your eyes and gently become aware of where you're sitting right now. So the temperature of the room, the light, and any sounds you're hearing. And now let that awareness come in a little closer to how your clothes feel on you, what your feet are touching, what does your hair feel like on your neck. And just breathe and let yourself go in just to the deeper part, which is what you've been sensing lately, what's been coming to you and at you lately. What have you been speaking of? What have you been writing? And just with that, know that at this time of the season, that we're looking ahead at a new year, a new way, but we're always looking at that. We're always looking at a new path. So in your mind's eye, without getting up or without any effort, just see a beautiful path that is literally opening itself up to you, right up to your feet. And this path leads you to the way that you will serve yourself fully and serve the rest of the world with love. And this path could go off into different roads, but for now, just feel it. Come up and find your feet. And just breathe and bless that. And just slowly open your eyes and know that the path you need to be on is the one under your feet. It is wherever you are. Amen.
Thank you so much, Nancy. That was
You're
lovely.
Welcome. You're welcome.
It took me to such a simple and beautiful, natural place. My feet are happy to be on the path that I envisioned. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And thank you for responding to questions today and for letting people know what they can experience in your part of our series. So, speaking of the series,
yes,
if
James,
those of you
how do they get to that series?
Well, those who want to experience more of this can take part in Embodied Divination, a sacred pilgrimage to activate your creative gifts by contacting me at circlewaves.james@gmail.com to get all the details. And they can also send a PayPal payment for $150, which is the cost of the series, to the same email address, circlewaves.james@gmail.com. And there's a whole bunch of other wonderful goodies that all five of us are giving away, and there'd be handouts to go with the class, as well as the calls, recordings of the calls, and as I said, all these other little bonus goodies. And the details are in the PDF file that I will send people who email me at circlewaves.james@gmail.com. So thank you for listening, everybody.